So, to Second Amendment or not to Second Amendment? We have this huge issue right now that everybody's looking at as to whether we should reconsider how we apply the Second Amendment, possibly even amending it to something different. It seems like the argument right now is either keep it the same or, take people's rights to have certain types of guns or all guns or, my thought is, what about a different approach? Maybe we don't keep it the same and maybe we don't take guns. Maybe we focus on training. So I thought maybe a solution would be instead of taking guns, make folks that own guns. I do believe in registering them. I think that that's smart. I think it's safe. I don't think that it's a bad idea as long as we trust our government to not come take our guns. That's the argument there, I think, is, well, if I'm registered, the government knows that I have these guns. And if they ever decide to come take them, they can. So let's assume that we're safe from that. I know that's a big assumption, but just for the sake of argument, I think knowing who has guns and what, and having serial numbers of weapons and whatnot, and like that way, if I have a gun stolen, let me back up right there. I have not operated a weapon platform in 11 years, and I do not own a gun, and that's by choice. Okay. So, but before that, I did a lot. So I did it a lot and then I was done with it. And that's kind of where I stand now. I just don't, I'm not against it. I personally don't see a need. Okay. Now back to what we were saying, what I was saying. Most people that own a weapon, I think that they should have it registered that way when they, that's right, registration. I think it's right because you can register your weapon and when you, if it's ever stolen or whatever, you can say, hey, look, I sold this or it was stolen. I sold this to or it was stolen at this time. And then they can say, okay, well, what was the serial number? It was this weapon. So they can pull the serial number. They can get the weapon manufacturer. They can get the bullet ballistics off of it. Because I think if I'm not mistaken, every weapon has to have a round fired and that round has to be logged. If I'm not mistaken, I need to check that out. But if that's not true, it should be. Not that that's a foolproof way to identify a weapon either. That's different topic for a different time. So that's first. I do believe that all weapons that are owned legally should be registered. And I think that that'll go a long way to accountability and ownership. If you know that your weapon is registered, you know that whatever happens with that weapon is going to come back to you if you don't account for it. Now, the second is training. Right now, to get a concealed carry, you have to be a law-abiding citizen. Generally, I know that there are a lot of specifics here and it's different for every state, but generally, you have to be a law-abiding citizen, go through a class that teaches you a few things, and then bada bing, bada boom, you got your concealed carry. I don't agree with that. I believe that instead of restricting that or whatever, we say, hey, you're required to do more training. So first, I would say that people are required to have positive identification of a threat training. In the military, they call it PID, positive identification. You have to know if you're gonna kill someone that they are escalating to the point of fatal reaction, You have to know that the situation is not just going to be an argument. And, because that does happen. It's not the majority. They're, more deaths from texting and driving than shooting. Anyway, but one death, One accidental death is too many. So I think the goal should always be to strive for zero. Now, we can't get so focused on that we're willing to give up our civil liberties. I agree with that. So, positive identification of a threat training, de-escalation training, behavioral science training, self-defense, unarmed self-defense training. I would love it to say, hey, look, you have to be a blue belt in jiu-jitsu before you ever own a weapon. And then also weapon retention training, armed combat, hand-to-hand training, so learning how to fight with your hands while holding a weapon. And then weapon retention goes back to learning how to retain your weapon if someone's trying to take it. So rough stats, look them up for yourself. I'm in the ballpark on these. Most confrontations happen within 9 feet. 9 feet is not fast enough to take your weapon out and shoot. I think the average draw to shoot time, or I'll say draw to hit, I think is the proper terminology. Draw to hit time. That means round on target for the average concealed carry person. I said average a lot there. Is about 1.5 seconds, maybe 1.25 seconds. And that's people that know that they're being tested, aren't caught off guard, and have their mindset in the situation to, okay, I need to do this quickly. Okay. So I would say it's safe to double that. Go ahead and double that to 3 seconds. All right. It takes 1.5 seconds for someone to close the distance from 20 feet. Okay. How the hell are you going to get your weapon out? I mean, you're 2 seconds behind. You're 1.5, 2 seconds behind the power curve just to draw your weapon. We're not even talking how many rounds you got to put into somebody, like a dedicated aggressor, someone who wants to take your life, because that's the only reason why you should be taking your weapon out and firing it at another human being, is because they want to take your life, so you're defending your life with lethal means. So you've got to not only draw your weapon in that 1.5 seconds, less than 1.5 seconds, but you've also got to fire 3 to 4 rounds, because it takes 3 to 4 rounds to take an armed aggressor down, or take a determined aggressor down. All right, so we need to have training, because not a lot of people know that. Not a lot of people even understand. I see a lot of concealed carry that are carrying really high and far back on their hip because it's the easiest place to conceal, or in their behind their back. Man, that's I don't know where I would conceal the carry, because I've never done it. I suspect I would try to somewhere forward, between a belt buckle and the pocket on my right hand side. If I were to ever conceal a weapon, that's where I would want to put it, because that's the closest to my firing hand. Now, I also see a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people, that don't have night sights on their weapon that they're concealing and carrying. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Someone in broad daylight is going to come up to you and aggress you and threaten your life? No, man, that stuff happens at night. It might happen during the day, but you need to train for worst case scenario. That way you perform well in best case scenario. So night sights. And we're just talking about the actual weapon and getting past all the other stuff. Let's say you passed all the other stuff. You've checked all the other blocks, and now you're actually drawing your weapon well. Okay, so now you need night sights. That means you need to fire at night. I don't know anybody, any civilian that hasn't been in the military that's concealed to carry, that has a concealed to carry permit, that is fired at night. I don't know anyone. Maybe there's someone out there, I'm sure there is, but I guarantee it's not the majority. I guarantee it's a very small percentage, if any. And then you're talking about stress fire as well. So stress fire is getting your heart rate up, getting yourself flustered. The way that, the best way to do it without someone actually aggressing you is to just go do sprints and then stop. So three gun is a decent idea. So it would be run a mile and then do a 3-gun. Is kind of the way. So if you don't know what 3-gun is, it's I think you have a pistol, a rifle, and a shotgun, maybe. you have three different weapon platforms, and you'll like grab it, fire, and you have to move while you're firing it, and then you hit another table. You have to put that weapon down, grab the other weapon, load, fire while you're walking. That's really good. You know, so it'd be like doing that. But before you do that, do a bunch of push-ups and run. Just dead out sprints. And see how you fire, and then get good at firing in that state. And then get good at firing in that state at night. Okay. So I think you should have all that just to get in the door of thinking about concealing and carrying a weapon. And then I think it should be mandatory that concealed carry permit holders put in range time. And I think those ranges need to be certified in testing all these things properly to a very high standard. And here's why. Like, I'm not trying to prevent people from having guns. I want a very tactical armed citizenry. You know, if that's why we're doing these, to protect ourselves from an oppressive government or other governments, you know, it's a force multiplier when you're talking about war between nations, that one nation is completely armed and has, and its civilian populace has more guns than its military. You know, if you're a country looking to overthrow another country or invade another country, and you're like, holy crap, man, first of all, they have the strongest military in the world. Second of all, they have the most armed population in the world. I don't think so. I think we're going to move on. You know, so it's not bad. It's a good thing. I absolutely believe in citizens having weapons as long as they're law abiding. Now, back to the ranges. I think ranges need to be trained in all these things, certified to a high standard. You have to do range time night and day. I don't know what that would look like. And I also think you have to meet qualification standards. I think that it should be no different than the lowest standard in the military. If you're going to carry a weapon, I don't see why you should be held to any other standard than the lowest standard that our military holds its people to, especially if that's your, one of your purposes is to be able to one day protect yourself against your own government. Then you need to at least know where their baseline is. Because let me tell you, I've seen some people shoot around here, like out in the civilian sector, and a lot of people suck at shooting stationary targets, let alone actually moving. So I think implementing all of these would be a good idea. I think that we could not only get people to engage more, I think that you would also, you would inherently make the process more filtered. So people that wanted to could, you know. And so I heard the argument like, well, what if someone is disabled? This is not going to be a popular statement, what I'm about to say. If you're disabled to the point where you can't pass those tests, you should not be carrying a firearm. You shouldn't. There are other ways to defend yourself. You're putting yourself and other people at risk more than you're helping yourself to defend yourself. Because if you're so disabled that you can't defend an attacker from taking your weapon or draw it in a timely manner, and the amount of time that you have to have that thing out from someone who's 10 feet away from you, I mean, it's, you don't want to have that weapon on you because you've just created your own instrument of death. It just, there's no other way to put it. You may not like to hear that if you're one of these people, but it's true. So now, I also think that we should have many, many more non-lethal options. You know, I think that we should have more affordable options for non-lethal platforms. So platforms that look like weapons and will put somebody down but won't kill them. You know, ballistic, like semi-ballistic bullets, you know, rubber bullets, plastic bullets, you know, they'll penetrate the skin a little bit, but they won't get deep enough to do any real damage. They'll just do enough to hurt somebody, or, you know, pepper rounds, or, you know, taser rounds. You know, the technology's out there, and we're not talking about having to fire these things you know, 50 yards. You know, listen, if you're shooting someone from 50 yards away, you are murdering somebody. You're not defending yourself anymore. You know, 50 yards away, you need to just get out of the situation. The goal isn't like, well, I'm tougher than you and I'm going to prove it. You know, nobody's going to threaten me. Like, no, man, if that's your mindset, then yeah, you shouldn't have a weapon. You should not have a firearm. You just shouldn't. You know, and then going on that, mental health, you know, yes, you should have to pass a mental health background. And that's a slippery slope. It's going to be really hard to define. But if you look at all these incidents where people lose control and shoot someone or other people or multiple other people, it's because they have poor mental health and people knew about it, you know? So I think that has to be dealt with. And then gun safety. Weapon safety is so important. I see people conceal in ways that are just not healthy, you know? Now with that, I'm going to say something that's going to contradict that. I actually believe it's safer to conceal with a round in the chamber. And here's why. One, if you don't have a round in the chamber, you're just adding more time to having to rack around to defend yourself. If someone's trying to kill you, you're going to die. If you got a rack around, you're going to die. Interrupted. Okay. So if you've got a rack around, yeah, that's not good. And if you can't confidently carry your concealed weapon with a round in the chamber, then you shouldn't be carrying it. You should understand how that platform works. You should understand the safety. And if you don't trust the safety, you should go to a different platform. Or if you don't trust yourself with the safety, then you shouldn't be carrying it around because you're creating more harm than good. So I think that needs to be the discussion. I don't think the discussion needs to be, let's see how much we can take from people. I don't think the discussion needs to be, let's see how much we can restrict. You know, it's not our government's job to prevent crime. It's our government's job to maintain law and order. It's our job, the individual, to police ourselves. And I don't mean like law enforcement police. I mean like morally police, like look after one another and like, hey, this dude doesn't look right. You know, it's not our police officer's job to prevent a crime before it happens. Because when you start going in there, what you're basically telling the government to do is to restrict my ability to do things so that we restrict the likelihood of things going bad. Because whether we like it or not, whether you want to admit it or not, most people are good. And the amount of bad crap that happens is far less than the amount of good stuff. Like, so far less that you can't even compare the two. It's just bad stuff elicits a stronger emotion. So our media does us a huge injustice by repeating it and just regurgitating all the bad stuff that happens over and over and over. So I think that just higher standards in training, higher standards in understanding what you need to do, knowing that the gun isn't your option, you know, give someone a toolbox, not just a hammer. And further, look for a toolbox and don't just look for a hammer. You know, like, oh, I want to protect my home. Well, you know, look at your locks first. How easy or how difficult are your locks to break in? Don't like, oh, well, I'm just going to get an AR-15 to protect my house. And that's another thing. Think about this. For your real deal trigger pullers, your real dynamic entry type guys that are in the military that do this stuff every day, right? You're not that person. The likelihood, unless you've been there, okay, this doesn't apply to you. But if you've never done that, if you've never cleared a room before, You have no idea what you're doing in that room and the amount of training it takes to learn how to clear a room properly with a pistol is difficult. Let alone, I mean, the longer you add to your weapon platform, the more difficult it is, the faster you got to be, the more concise you have to be, the difference in angles that you're going to have when you're in a room. Like, that's the other thing. When you shoot at someone, you got to say, okay, where's that round going to go if it goes through them? Where's it going to go if I miss? You know, you have to understand how to shoot. You have to understand your house. And honestly, if someone breaks into your house, you've got the upper hand because, in one sense, because you know the lay of the land. They don't, most likely. You know where they need to go. You know where the expensive stuff is. You know where the high ground is. You know where all the nooks and crannies to hide in are. I prefer to defend my house with a knife because if someone breaks in here, I want them to understand with a lot of pain and a lot of understanding that they made a huge mistake. That's probably a little graphic, but someone who's been stabbed before, it hurts a lot. And it's definitely a lesson teacher. So I definitely understand how that works now. And I believe that I can be more efficient in any given room in my house with a knife than someone else could be with a weapon. So now, when we're talking about weapon platforms, to going back to defending your house with a pistol or an AR-15 or whatever, I think a shotgun really is the best thing. I mean, you don't have to be accurate. You can, or actually, they make defender rounds. I know that they have defender rounds that are, I think they come in like a 410. It's like three watch batteries stacked up behind some like birdshot. And I think that's great, man, because that's not going through a wall. It's going to hit drywall and just drop between the two pieces of drywall. If it hits a person, your likelihood of killing them is a little bit less, so they can actually serve justice with a whole lot of pain and really learn their lesson. You know, it just, understand, go out to a tactical range, find somebody that, or just find a friend that was in the military that you know is legit, isn't full of shit. Because there are a lot of guys out there that would be like, oh, I was in the Army, I did this and that and this and that. Like, no. Not that many. I got lucky to be around those people, and I still didn't do a lot of the stuff, and I was right there with them. Like, so it. A lot of people don't do as much as they say they do. Some people did a lot more than they say they did. It doesn't really matter. Find someone that's legit and have them just walk you through dry run. No weapon, just walk through clearing a room, and then have them. Something that we used to do, just kind of messing with each other, is one of us would get in a room with some ping pong balls, and then we try to enter the room and not get hit by the ping pong balls. Just something simple like that. Just try that, man, and see how fast that happens. See how hard it is to enter a room when somebody's already in there. It's not easy to clear a house. Then when your nerves are on 1,000, it's even harder. But if after all this, if nothing changes, laws stay where they are, then we have to keep ourselves to a higher standard. If the law isn't going to do it, we have to do it to ourselves, not to each other, to ourselves. So if you've got a concealed carry, take all these things that I've said into consideration. Get night sights, fire at night, stress fire. Make sure you know how to do self-defense, weapon retention. De-escalate violent situations, positive identification. Make sure you find all this stuff. There's a few good people on YouTube. One of them is a guy named Sean Ryan in Terran Tactical. He was a SEAL and a CIA contractor. He does a couple of really good videos just on basic room clearing. That is exactly how I learned it when I was in the military. And it's exactly how I saw everybody else learn it. So it's he. I think he's got some legit stuff. As far as shooting, you gotta have trigger time. You gotta go out. Paper targets are great. Stationary paper targets are great at first. Get really accurate on those before you ever carry. Then start moving and shooting them, and you'll realize how inaccurate you are. And then get really accurate while you're moving and shooting, and then do that at night, and then start to carry. Understand how to go through your house, all that stuff. Hell, get an airsoft gun, put targets up in your house, and have some fun. Or a Nerf gun. Just so you get used to doing it. Just so you get used to being in that situation. And have somebody in the house with a Nerf gun, shooting back at you, hidden in a room somewhere. Do it at night, man. Have some fun. Have the kids say, all right, kids, you guys are the bad guys, and I'm gonna be the good guy, and you gotta get me before I get you. And just see how it works out. Let them take up their little defensive positions and see what happens, It'll at least get you in the mindset. It'll at least get your emotions ready, a little bit more ready to handle that situation, should it ever come. God forbid it ever does. So, anyway, that's my two cents. If I've got my crap together enough to leave comments somewhere, I'd like to hear them. I might just start a Facebook page or something and link to it. Not really sure, but if you happen to listen to this, when you happen to listen to it, hopefully I've got something linked to where you can leave comments. I'd love to hear your opinions, and then we could talk about them later. Maybe if you live close, we could figure out a way to come together and talk about this stuff. Be great. Anyway, thanks for listening. Have a great day.